The Common Good on KFSK is brought to you by the Petersburg Community Foundation, an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation. The Petersburg Community Foundation is devoted to improving the lives of the young, the elderly, and vulnerable populations, as well as creating recreation, education, and safety programs. The Petersburg Community Foundation, making grants to local nonprofits through a permanent endowment. More information at petersburgcf.org.
Good morning and welcome to The Common Good. It is about 31 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock. This is Hannah Flohr, and I am your host today, here with Brandy Boggs, patient navigator at PMC. Good morning.
Morning.
And Kirsten Testoni, home health manager.
Morning, morning. Kirsten.
And we're here to talk a little bit about the patient navigator position, which is, I think, a position that's not super well understood or known about. So, Brandy, do you want to tell us, just get started with a description of what it is that you do?
Well, what I do is fairly broad, and unfortunately, the title of patient navigator is a little bit misleading. My position, I'm housed in home health, but my services expand to everyone in the community. They don't have to be a patient of PMC. They don't have to be on home health. They can be just any community member that might be in need of assistance. And so what I provide is more of like program and service navigation, primarily with the paperwork aspect. So if folks need assistance with Medicaid, long-term care needs, Medicare, Social Security, veterans benefits, Social Security disability, any kind of program that requires a process and paperwork, I can help someone with. Or I can help point them in the direction to get them to someone who knows how to do that. But it's like beat the odds. So I help navigate the three application processes for folks that are experiencing cancer who may need help with reimbursements or get on angel flights. So it's a broad, broad spectrum of what I can help folks do. And so those are kind of some of the things that I do most every day.
So really anything that might be confusing about healthcare, people can reach out to you and you can help them try and figure out how to make it less confusing.
Yes. Yep. And they don't have to be, a patient at PMC or on home health services. They can just be a community member that might need assistance with something in their life, around healthcare, insurance, veterans benefits, those kinds of things. Yep.
So it can kind of be the very first step in getting healthcare, is reaching out to you and figuring out exactly how to go about it, how to get started even.
Yeah. And if somebody just even has questions, or if they don't know if they would meet an income level, or if there's an elder that their caregivers might want to talk about long-term care needs or whatever that might look like. If they just need somebody to talk about what possibly could be out there, they can feel free to give me a call or stop by the office.
Okay. And backing up a little bit, I understand that this is not a position that is totally standard at all hospitals, even though it seems like a very excellent position to have. Kirsten, can you tell us a little bit about how it came to be? And it's fairly recent that it was created, correct?
Mm-hmm. So way back before I even got here, before COVID, the hospital held these community cafes. And time again, one of the most common themes was we need somebody like a medical social worker. And that position is very, very hard to find somebody who's qualified. That's usually a master's prepared social worker. But somebody who could do something like that. And so the more we had conversations, the more we talked about needing someone to help navigate, because we only know so much. The business office does a great job with a piece of this, the parts that include insurances and things, but it's all of the other things. A couple things Brandy didn't mention was that she helps people navigate through their long-term care insurances and what that really means. A lot of people think, well, I've got long-term care insurance, that means it's covered, or the SNAP program, or housing. She's also a notary. We help people make sure that they have, you know, their advance directives in place, or powers of attorney. So it becomes very broad. And so there wasn't that one person that could actually help navigate all of those things. Honestly, when we started looking and Brandy's resume came across our desk, I was like, wow. And then I honestly didn't have any idea the wealth of knowledge that she has. I really didn't. And it's been a great learning curve for me also, because it's so much needed in the community. And the great thing about what she does is that she can see people in her office. We have a conference room, but she's also willing to go to your home. So there are lots of people who either can't get out or are too anxious about getting out, or, you know, maybe all their paperwork is in a file cabinet overflowing in a living room. And so she really helps people to navigate through so much. We have people knocking on our door saying, I got this piece of mail. What is it? You know, and Brandy can look at it and go, that's fraudulent. Get rid of it. Like, we just had a gentleman show up and he had this thing and it was saying he needed to, I forget exactly what he needed to do, but she's like, that's a fraud. You don't need to worry about it. But he was worried about it for 3 days prior to coming in. So there's a lot of reassurance that goes along with this position. But back to your original question, it really came out of what the community was asking for. Mm. And then we were just fortunate enough to find somebody who far exceeded the expectation of the role.
And, you know, I spoke to Phil Hofstetter before, you know, to do a little bit of homework for this conversation. And one of the things that he said was that he wishes that he could have two of you, Brandy, because, to quote, it's vital to make sure that people are in an appropriate level of care in order to prevent catastrophe. So I'm curious what he meant by appropriate level of care. Can you guys expand on that a little bit?
I think one of the things, you know, I've said this a couple of times, but I'm from down south where there's zillions of resources and there's all kinds of programming, and you can just pick up the phone and have somebody be connected with a program or somebody to take care of the personal care needs or whatever that might be. We're pretty limited here, you know, based on the remoteness of the community. So we have home health, which is great. Home health can take care of a wide variety of needs, but we are constrained by Medicare, Medicaid, insurances, and that kind of thing. So there's this really big gap of people who need something, but they don't know what they need. And so one of the things that actually Brandy's done quite a bit of work on is the veteran population. And there's something called the VOICE program. And the VOICE program, actually, a bunch of paperwork, people get assessed, Brandy does all the submission of the work. And what that does is that provides reimbursement for caregivers. So that there's some monies there that people can actually get paid. So if you need to stay home to take care of a loved one and you have to forfeit your job, you can actually get paid for some of your services. Now, is it a ton of money? No, but it's better than nothing. So it's navigating through some of the, I hate to keep using the word navigating, but it's navigating through some of the things that people are eligible for. And Brandy can speak to this more, but there's been so many people who come in and they're like, I didn't know I had that, or I didn't know I could do that.
Yeah, it's so common to not know what you don't know,
right?
And then you don't know what is available to you. So Brandy, can you tell us a little bit more about some of those opportunities that you help people find?
Well, I mean, to speak a little bit to what Phil had mentioned is I also think that it's important for our community to have somewhere to, like you said, Knight, to ask questions, because if you don't even know where to start, and it is overwhelming. I mean, for trying to just navigate Medicare or the Medicaid process, and we all know statewide our food stamps program is lagging 4 months, 5 months, you know, and just to be able to come in and say, I haven't gotten those things, why, you know, and if it takes a few hours to call on the phone to wait to try to get some answers for someone, you know, it's important to me that we try to meet as many needs as possible for our rural communities. Our rural communities are priceless, but they require services and support, and that's what I'm here for. So whatever that service and support might be, if it keeps people out of crisis, if it keeps people, you know, a little less stress, a little less anxiety, a little bit out of catastrophe, then that's exactly what they should be reaching out to us for, in order to, because maybe they might be appropriate for home health, and then I would be talking to Kirsten, or maybe they, you know, need to talk to somebody else at PMC or whatever that might look like for them. So for me, it's kind of being that hub for people to come to, and then we spoke out from there.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like a wheel. And that's how I envision my role.
You're the person that people start with, and then you can help them figure out where to go after
that. Exactly. And then how to navigate if there's paperwork involved. We'll get it figured out and filled out and submitted.
Well, and I think, too, to kind of go back to the original question about levels of care, I think people think that, well, it's going to the manor to assisted living or it's going into long-term care. One, we're trying to normalize those ideas that they're not bad things, that people do need more help. But really, if we can be creative, we can work very hard to keep people at home. And that's ultimately the goal. And so, you know, when Phil talks about levels of care, you know, the whole idea is to have a really seamless process where you have your clinic and then your clinic docs refer and say this person needs this, but they might not need long-term care yet. And so Brendy gets involved and we look and see what the resources are available. You know, and if they don't have a lot of financial resources, what would they qualify for? And so I think that that's where, you know, again, there's a gap because people are utilizing the emergency room where they might not necessarily need to do that. And, and you know, if they had only known that they could get help here or, you know, from this program. And we don't have a lot of programs here, so we do get creative. But it's just knowing that there's someone that can help them navigate through that.
And so when you say catastrophe, what you mean is ending up in the emergency room because those steps weren't taken prior.
We're working very hard to not work in crisis mode because a lot of times Brendy gets called in because we've got somebody who presents in the emergency room or ends up hospitalized for something and they can't go home. It's not safe to go home. They don't have a primary caregiver at home. And so now we're scrambling because how do we get resources for them to pay for long-term care or where do we place these folks or how do we get them help? And so really working hard, you know, to get the community to understand that some of these programs are not bad. You're not going to lose your shirt if you even just fill out the application, but just to start to prepare for things that happen so that we're not working in crisis mode all the time.
Yeah. That makes sense. You had said that when Brandy's application came across your desk, you were interested, or I don't remember your wording exactly, but Brandy, I'm curious what it is that made you a good fit for this job. How did you move from what you were doing before into this role and feel like it was the right one for you?
Well, I think for me, so I've lived in Petersburg. This is my 23rd year in Petersburg, and it's my 32nd year in Southeast Alaska. And honestly, I've been so blessed. I've had such wonderful social service jobs throughout my entire adult life here in Alaska. I worked many years for the Office of Children's Services. I was so lucky to be able to travel around our entire state to all manner of rural villages and communities. So I really have a passion for our rural communities. I think they're just jewels. And my whole goal is to serve our rural communities and make sure that people have the supports that they need as best that we can provide for them. And then I served about 5 years at the court system, so I have a little bit of knowledge around the legal system and the court system. So I think all of those really just helped make a good fit for what PMC was looking for. I was blessed because PMC kind of didn't have a very detailed job description. They let me kind of broaden it out a little bit, so they've let me look at some other avenues to, you know, get some certifications and to help bring some more services, hopefully on board. So along with them and my experience, I think it was just a good fit and a good time.
Good. And how long have you been doing it for?
I've been at PMC now for just a little over 2 years.
Okay. So how do you find the people that you serve? How do you access them? I mean, I'm assuming that many people come to you, but I understand that a lot of people don't know exactly what you do or that the position exists. So are you doing outreach and trying to find people as well?
Well, yes, I think a little. I think it's, I think I haven't been advertising enough, but mostly people will either kind of hear through the grapevine that they should call or stop in, or we have a doctor that refers someone down, or the finance office, or we do a caregiver support group every other week, and so a few folks have come in on that. Hopefully we're going to get a little bit better about advertising for that. But so yeah, it's kind of been word of mouth right now, but I'm hoping with this. It'll help people come mm-hmm. forward if they do need help, and they can even just call if they don't feel like stopping by. Or like Kirsten said, I'm happy to go to someone's home or meet them wherever they would like, if that's more comfortable for them.
And just a note, because when I found this out, I was surprised that all of the services that you give are not billed. They are free. It is a service that PMC is providing in order to prevent working in crisis mode, but you are not billing for those services.
That's right. This is a community service provided by PMC.
Yeah. And Kirsten, what do you wish that the community understood a little bit better about the role that Brandy has?
I think the first thing is that she is here and she's available, and that our door is always open. You know, the home health door, it's a little bit different now that we're in the basement of the Elks and our door actually locks. But, you know, we have a pretty much an open door policy. Mm-hmm. And we have people who will knock on the door and say, hey, is somebody here? Or they'll ask a question. They're not sure what they're there for. So I want people to know that it's a safe space. It is a confidential space, and that please don't be afraid to ask questions. And if you're not comfortable coming into our space, we'll meet you where you're at. Mm-hmm. But call. And there are so many people that after they've spent some time with Brandy, they're like, I didn't know I had this. And actually, I ran into a gentleman, we were doing a blood pressure clinic up at Hammer WeCon, and he stopped and he was chatting with us and he said, Brandy saved my life. I don't know how I would have done this without her. And that's not the only person that has said that. So if there's any message that I can get out, you know, clearly, I think the world of her and her services, but really it's the service that she provides and how she does it and makes people feel comfortable and finds the answers. If she doesn't know it, she's going to find the answer for you.
Mm-hmm. And it occurs to me that when people are having health issues and they're in those moments of crisis, personal crisis, the paperwork and figuring out the health system is difficult in the first place, but then trying to figure out all of that paperwork and all of the bureaucracy when you're already stressed about yourself or a loved one, it seems like such a blessing to have somebody to walk you through that in those moments.
Yeah, it's just so overwhelming. And, you know, we don't want to add more to that. We want to try to take a little bit of that, you know, from folks so that they don't have to have so much on their plate, because mm-hmm. We all do. And if there's a little bit of something that I can help out with, then that's most certainly what I'm here for, and I will most certainly do. So yeah.
It's difficult on a good day. You know, I look at paperwork sometimes that I get from my insurance company, and I just throw it in the pile because I just can't. You know, so imagine if you're in crisis, like you said, and then trying to figure out how to make this work, and now you need something immediately.
Yeah. So are you naturally good at figuring out all of that bureaucratic paperwork, Brandy?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm good at it, but I like to do it. I like to research it. I like to figure out a process for it, and I like to be able to be, you know, I want to be, and I am passionate about being part of a service that betters our community. Mm-hmm. And that's what drives me, is what part can I play in bettering our community mm-hmm. and providing more supports for our rural communities? Because that's really what we need. We need our supports, and we do great on our own, but we can provide more to this community, and that's what we should be doing.
Yeah.
And so that's what drives me to figure out how to navigate all those reams and reams of paper that come through for folks. So, yeah, absolutely.
And you had mentioned that there are programs that you're working on. Can you talk about those?
Yeah. So one thing that happened, I was allowed and graciously by PMC to look at trying to get PMC certified as a waiver provider. So this gets a little complicated, and I'll try to say it as simply as possible. But the state of Alaska certifies providers to provide institutionalized level of care in a community to folks who need that kind of care, but in their home and community. And so, but in order to do that in a community, an agency needs to be certified as a provider through Alaska Senior and Disability Services. So Phil and Kirsten allowed me to walk through that process and get PMC certified as a provider of these waiver services. And with that, then somebody needs to be certified as a care coordinator to coordinate for a recipient of these services to keep them all, to keep it all coordinated. And so I went through that process and I got certified for that. So in back in December, PMC and myself received notice that we had received the certification to mm-hmm. for me to be the care coordinator and for PMC to provide these waiver services. And so as part of that, we're able to now provide care coordination services to a whole broad spectrum of folks in our community. So people who experience disabilities, elders, children with complex medical needs. So there's a broad spectrum of folks we can provide services for. And then under the umbrella of our provider, PMC's provider certification, we do want to start adding some services that people would receive in an institution, but are allowed to receive in the community and home. And so...
So is this then making it possible for people who need those services to have caregivers who are hired locally and kind of go with them in their day-to-day lives? Am I understanding that correctly?
So there is a part to that, a personal care part to that. That's a little bit of its own entity, and we are working on that. That takes a separate certification.
So we are
working on that. So because we understand that that is one of the greatest needs for this community is respite for caregivers and additional support for caregiving. I mean, it's just we get every single day we have multiple people ask us, is there anybody who can help me provide care for my loved one? It's just a huge need in this community. So this was one of the things that spurred this, was that we're able to work towards this personal care part. But for under our waiver provider right now, we are looking at starting an adult day service so that people will have an opportunity to come and have this great service of being having a meal and engaging in activities. And so that is most certainly going to be probably what we start with first.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a couple other things that we're going to add to this just to help add to that service and support for our community. So it's in the process. It's if anybody has any questions, though, I'm happy to speak to them about that and to give them brochures. I have brochures about all of the waiver services that someone would be entitled to under the waiver. If they would like to see if they are eligible for waiver services, they can contact me. I can get an appointment set up so we can get that started.
Okay. What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Our office number is 772-5716.
Okay, 772-5716.
And it's an office number, so anybody might answer the phone, but all you got to do is ask for me, and hopefully I'll be there.
So. All right. And if folks are interested in the waiver program and these things that you've been talking about, can they call and get on a list to be alerted when that is up and running?
Yeah. So now if somebody wants to see if they're eligible to get waiver services, we most certainly can start that process now. As a care coordinator, a certified care coordinator, I can start that process. So if there is an elder in the community, if there is, an adult with disabilities in the community, if there's a child with complex medical needs, I can get that process started for them and become their care coordinator. So then there's a variety. I mean, there's lots of care coordinators in the state, but we never had one local, and it's important that we are able to give people that option. They don't have to use me by any means, but if they want somebody local, then we now have somebody here. And it's important that we continue to build our services under this umbrella, because it offers lots of variety, lots of services. You know, PMC is going to be the one that's going to provide them, but we can do that.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Well, we are getting close to the end of our time. Is there anything that you want to, either of you want to add before we finish up?
I just think it's really important for people to know that, first, ask questions. If you're not sure, please give us a call. And if we don't have the answer, we're going to find it for you. And in terms of the waiver services, we're really, really excited about this opportunity. It certainly takes some planning and some, there's a lot of work behind the scenes that are going into getting this one particular program up and running, because it does fill a gap. And I mentioned a couple of times there are gaps in the community. And one of the biggest one is caregiving and caregiving burnout. And so if this adult day program can provide some respite, it's not overnight. It would be like a day program. And we will rename it when we finally decide how we're going to roll it out, what it's going to look like. But we're just using the terminology now that the Senior Disability Services uses. But it'll be a day program that will be designed with transportation and a meal and personal care needs. If someone isn't able to shower at home for whatever reason, we'll be able to provide that in a group. Well, it won't be a group group care showering, but sorry, right. That didn't sound right. But we'll be provided in a congregate setting where there'll be some socialization and some activities. And, you know, we'll have a nurse on staff so that if there's anybody who needs to take medication during that time, or, you know, whatever that looks like. And it's really exciting because there's very little overhead that's needed and there's very little change to what we're already doing.
Amazing. That sounds really great. Wonderful. Well, thank you both so much for coming in. I really appreciate it. And thank you for what you do in the community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Common Good on KFSK is brought to you by the Petersburg Community Foundation, an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation. The Petersburg Community Foundation is devoted to improving the lives of the young, the elderly, and vulnerable populations, as well as creating recreation, education, and safety programs. The Petersburg Community Foundation, making grants to local nonprofits through a permanent endowment. More information at petersburgcf.org.